With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, you're listening on to the Adventure and Pumpkin on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm here with our next guest who, I love their music, and you're going to love what you're about to hear. So let's bring to the show Kyle from X-Order. How are you?
I'm well, Dean. Thank you.
So the first thing I have to say is my preparation for this interview today was I was getting my hair done because I'm going to do Welcome to Rockville Festival, and So, my hair is like black and blue, so I had to get freshened up, and I was listening to your album in its entirety, just like you're going to be playing it in its entirety. So that was my preparation for this interview.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. It's like 1990 all over again, except we have the internet now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And there's definitely, as an old schooler myself, you know, I'm old school thrash, you know, tape trading days guy. That's why I'm really excited about this interview, because that's how it started for you guys.
Without a doubt. I want to say when we first started this band in 1986, that's really what the underground was. There was very little avenue of media for anyone who wasn't on a major or independent, you know, strong independent label to promote themselves. So the tape trading industry was absolutely 100% the most important part of breaking your band.
It's pretty amazing too. Today, I mean, it's almost like that was the beginning of streaming media. Because basically,
absolutely.
I think a lot of streaming media now copies from those tape trading days.
I guess there's always a prototype and someone has to pioneer things. So, obviously, it's a lot more refined and streamlined now. I know people used to write to me at our P.O. box back in the day, and they would send a free compilation tape with, I don't know, 20 bands on it. And they'd, you know, ask me to pay it forward and make a copy and send it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And with a list of all the bands. And I heard a lot of bands that way.
No
that
doubt.
I never would have necessarily heard otherwise.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so I love that. I kind of love, and I'm bummed too, that you guys played at Psycho Las Vegas. I normally do that festival, but because of COVID and all every festival throughout the whole year being all at one time, it's like I had to make choices this year of which festivals I was going to cover because all the spring and the fall festivals were in the fall. But that's where you kind of did the first run there of playing Slaughter in the Vatican, and that's leading to this tour you're doing now for it.
Yeah, it really kind of rang a bell for us that while we were putting in the work to do this, this was actually booked, I want to say, in 2019.
Wow.
And then, of course, was supposed to happen in 2020, but everything got pushed off. So the rescheduling of the 2020 cycle Las Vegas to 2021 resulted in us, okay, well, we've got to start focusing on this task at hand now and just revisiting all these old songs, some of them that we don't really play very often for whatever reason. Now you have to dust them off and get the job done. And while we were putting in the hours and the work preparing, some of these songs are monsters. You really have to do a lot of preparation.
Yeah.
It dawned on us that, man, we probably could take this show out on the road. And as fate would have it, I had mentioned it to our booking agent after the band had discussed the desire to do this. And he came back and said, dude, how about it? We got a tour for you. So here we are, weeks away from kicking this thing off. And we will be playing additional material to the Slaughter in the Vatican album, a select handful of songs from the other two albums. And I don't want to reveal anything just yet, but there will be a taste of everything from the entire Exhorter discography. So that's good for everybody to know up front, I think.
I love it. And the tour starts on the 24th in Brooklyn, New York at St. Vitus Bar. So that's even cool, too, because I'm born in New York, grew up in Jersey, and then I also grew up in California in the 80s, the beginning of the 80s thrash metal. So, like, anytime you're playing New York or Cali, I'm there.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's where we kickstart this thing. The night before Thanksgiving in Brooklyn, if we had more time, we'd stick around for the parades. But, we got to get going. and I'm grateful that we're doing this tour in the U.S. because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday and I won't be home. So I'll actually be able to, go to Holiday Inn and eat the buffet or something as opposed to being on tour in Norway where they don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Good point. I love it.
I've missed at least three Thanksgivings in my lifetime by being on tour.
I'm sure.
And only one of them so far was outside of the country, so I've been fortunate.
Well, there you go. So in all these years of doing music, if there was one story, good or bad, that when you're like 80 years old, you're going to tell people about, what would it be?
Oh my God!
I know that's tough, right? I know that's tough, right?
This band clearly has a history of not having been well behaved in the very beginning, to say the least. We're much, much calmer in our old age, and that's a good thing. Getting kicked off of tours would never, ever be anything that I would recommend striving for. but that happened to us. I would say that I might as well embellish on that story. This is one that's pretty popular in our circle, and the legendary status of it has grown much bigger than it probably really was. But when we were on tour with Entombed and Dead Horse in 1992, while we were touring for The Law, a dressing room out in California happened to get destroyed. And when I say destroyed, I mean it was pretty much ruined. It was a combination of our fault and Dead Horse's fault. And I always joke with them and tell them that they got us kicked off the tour. But deep down, of course, we're accountable for it. But But it just got out of hand. We were throwing food around and acting like immature fools, to say the least. But somebody, the rumor has it, it was somebody from Exhorter, defecated on a plate, and somebody stuck a fork in said defecation. And then somebody else had emptied a silver bowl full of salad and used it to cover the platter like it was some sort of, you know, fine, like, you know, catering.
Oh, man.
And was lifting the bowl and asking people as they walked in, pate.
Oh, my God, that's great.
So, long story short, the poor lady whose job it was to clean up the mess at the end of the night, we brought her to tears, and we all felt really badly, and consequently, the next day we were kicked off of the tour. So yeah, probably the worst thing that we've ever done, because not to say that we haven't committed more heinous acts, but the fact that it affected so many people on the tour, our label was unhappy with us. You know, the only people I think that were happy about it was probably Entombed's management at the time, because they couldn't stand us. Now, at the time, I was a 22-year-old man, and I think the oldest guy in the band was probably 27 years old. So we were very young and dumb and way out of line.
And it was those times, too. You know, it was different times then.
Yeah, for sure. I would fire somebody from my team for doing something way worse than that today. But at the end of the day, it's a great story.
Oh, it is.
And the legend of that thing has grown, because I had a conversation with Corpse Grinder from Cannibal Corpse over some beers at Psycho Las Vegas over this very story. And his recollection of the story was a little different than mine. But
it's like the game of telephone, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It changes as it passes from ear to ear, and memory too. You know, we all remember things a little bit differently, I think, as time goes on.
Yeah, true. You know, it's so funny. I asked that question to so many different artists. And do you know, I was laughing when you first started saying defecation, because do you know that one of the most popular things in those stories is something having to do with defecation? I mean, it just blows my mind. I've had three artists in that story tell me about, and they were all lead singers, all tell me about when they shit themselves on stage.
Oh my. Yeah. I can't say that's ever happened to me before, but I have had to slip off stage to vomit before.
Wow. Well, that could happen. But the shit in your pants on stage, that's huge.
But, yeah, I mean, it's likely to happen.
But I love the pate story, though. That is amazing. That does sound like something from those times, though. That's why I say that. Because, listen, as somebody who went through all the L.A. 80s metal stories, you know, it's like that wouldn't even be out of hand.
Like, no, exactly. That was what I told you is probably tame in comparison to what really happened a lot back then.
Exactly, exactly. So tell everybody, all our listeners, how they can connect to you on social media, check out your music, check out the tour dates. They should know, but just in case they don't.
Yes, yes. We do have a Facebook page. It's Exhorter Official. I can't think of the URL at the moment, but on Instagram and Twitter, at Exhorter Nola, NOLA, like for New Orleans, Louisiana, at Exhorter Nola. So we update several times a day. We have serious posts. We have fun posts. We try to make it engaging and exciting for everyone. We also have www.exhorter.com. We've got some actually a nice little clearance sale going on there right now. So, once this weekend is over, shipping is probably going to cease until after Christmas, since I'll be leaving to go to Ohio for rehearsals for this tour. And we run everything ourselves. If you purchase something from our web store, it is packaged and personalized from me to you. So, all the support we get from everybody with the merch, it's appreciated beyond what we can even say, because especially during this pandemic, it's been pretty tough not being able to tour. So this is our first tour since we shut things down two shows early on the show, the tour we did with Overkill. That was quite a long time to go without, you know, the only show being Cycle Las Vegas just 2 months ago. It's been hell.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't even think people can conceive of the hell it is for a musician during this pandemic.
It's tough. I mean, you know, it's not just the band members. You've got drivers, you've got technicians, you've got merch people, you've got promoters, venues, and their staff that count greatly on the touring industry. The ripple effect is immeasurable with just how many people have felt the heat on not being able to have live shows. So the fact that it's opening up again, and I think what it is now people are just kind of starting to understand how to deal with this pandemic. It's not going anywhere. So now it's just, if you want to go, this is what has to happen in order for you to go. And if it's not safe for you to go, or you don't feel comfortable going, then, you know, maybe sometime down the line again, things will open up to where anybody and everybody can freely go to shows again, like the old days. But at least I feel like at least everybody's ripping off the Band-Aid and letting life happen again. Oh, you can't just shut down an entire country for months and months to years and expect things to end up well. I don't know. It's
agreed.
It was scary at first, and you know, I didn't want to go anywhere either. I would go buy my groceries, and I would come home from the grocery store and take alcohol wipes and wipe all of my groceries down before I put them away. I'm not doing that now. I've already had COVID twice, and I've been fortunate enough not to be one of the ones who suffered greatly from it. But you know, I'm fully vaccinated and happy to get out here and be respectful of everybody else and distance. It doesn't scare me the way it might scare somebody else, but that's because I know how it affects me at this point. But, you know, I mean, you've got the flu still, you've got all kind of stuff out there that hasn't gone away. And good sense tells me, wash your hands, just like I always do. I'm kind of a stickler for washing my hands anyway. And it's, you know, the mask things maybe aren't such a bad idea because you're not spreading the germs around as much. You know, I know for some people there's a lot of, you know, everybody's got different feelings on it, and I respect someone for having a different feeling on it than I do. I would wear a mask more for someone else than for myself.
That's me totally. That's me, you know, totally. 100%. That's the reason I wear a mask. It's for other people, not for me.
So I think people inject their political beliefs and stances and theories about conspiracy into this. I don't know. To me, it's just about let's just live to fight another day.
Yeah, and care for other human beings and listen. You know, like the mask thing. Really, how much do you have to wear the mask? Does it really inconvenience you that much, type of thing? That's my viewpoint. I have one of my best friends of life, his wife, she works like all the award shows, like the Grammys and all that. And she, you know, they're under strict guidance. So she's wearing a mask all the time. And she said, normally she gets sick twice a year without fail, and she hasn't been sick during the whole pandemic because of wearing that. And she thinks
because
it's because
of
wearing
mask.
The mask. Yeah, at all, not even a cold.
Yeah, that says a lot right there. You know, that to me, yeah, Lord, these things are uncomfortable, and I've got a gigantic nose, so this mask is just a drag all over my face. It's miserable. I hate it. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm on a flight with 100 other people or more, and we're using recycled air for hours on end, I'm, you know, as uncomfortable as it is to have to breathe through that thing, I think it's probably, I may wear a mask on every flight I'm on for the rest of my life because I'm a singer and I've got to stay healthy. If I get sick on tour, that's it, man.
Or how about the other part of it is, you know, you don't wear a mask, you get somebody sick and they die because you didn't wear a mask. That's another thing you don't want to live with. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Well, you know, maybe some people that matters more than it would to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the last thing I would want to do is to shame somebody for anything that they're doing. You know, I'm not a perfect person, and I've made plenty of mistakes myself too. But I don't know. Like in this day and age, consideration for your fellow person definitely seems to be secondary, and it shouldn't be.
And that's what metal's always been about anyway, you know? It's about, you know, picking people up in the pit, not stepping over them because they're wearing a mask.
Right.
You know?
I don't know. I think maybe just the fast-paced breakneck speed that the world has gone to with, you know, short attention span, internet kind of world that we live in, I think some of that has yielded a lot of entitlement perhaps, and maybe a lack of consideration for others at times, just more of a self-serving mode that people get into. And I don't necessarily think that everybody that like that is a bad person. I think maybe people just kind of forgotten about values from time to time, you know, not like the singer from Exhorters trying to preach values. Have you heard our lyrics?
Yeah, right.
You know, that's all fantasy to me, you know, like that's all just part of the art. You know, I try to help people when I can. You know, if there's a way I can help with a fundraiser or, you know, going to volunteer somewhere from time to time. I'm not doing it every day, but I try to when I can. I try to help people when I can and try not to hurt people. That's pretty simple lifestyle, I think.
I love that you brought that up, too, especially about the lyrics, because a lot of people never really got, especially back in the day, you know, what it was about. It's like, just like with Slayer. I was friends with them. We would hang outside like the country club or something, and they would just laugh that people thought they were actually devil worshipers. You know?
Yeah, man. I really never got an opportunity to meet anyone in Slayer over the years, oddly enough, but huge influences on me. They were one of the last bands I listened to that I actually like worshiped, like, oh, they're gods, you know,
right?
'Cause I was a teenager, you know, and then you start meeting your idols and you're like, ah, you're just another dumb schmo like me. Being in the band Trouble, some of those guys know some of the Slayer guys, and they're like, oh man, you would not believe what laid back. Some of them are even almost like hippies, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that's cool, you know?
And Tom is like a born again Christian singing about the Antichrist.
Yeah. You know, well, he's telling stories. I mean,
exactly.
The stories that Slayer told aren't much different than the stories that Trouble told.
Right.
It's just one got labeled as satanic and one got labeled as Christian, you know?
Yeah. True story. And you know, you brought up another great point. Isn't that what music is? Storytelling.
I think that's, you know, a lot of what it should be, you know. I think at some point in my career, I got into philosophy and I maybe was getting even perhaps a little preachy at some point, but, you know, don't ever listen to a 20-something-year-old man. They rarely know what they're talking about.
Yeah, so to bring everything back home, okay, so you're going to do this tour. I would assume because of COVID, there will not be any crap pâtés on this tour.
Without question, we shall not use the facilities anywhere other than the men's room on this tour.
Perfect, because that you know, that'll protect everybody during these times.
I think that's probably a great game plan from square one.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to spread crap during a pandemic, even though a lot of people are.
No. Correct.
Well, I thank you for the great music you've given us for so many years. It's going to be so cool that you're on tour. I hope everybody checks it out because it'll be a badass show. And thank you for being on the Adventures of Pipe Man.
Yeah, thank you, Pipe Man. Appreciate it. Absolutely. What's up, everyone? This is Kyle Thomas from Exhorter, and you're listening to The Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.
Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.